This is the Monday in Holy Week meditation, extravagance and intimacy. And the person we're going to focus on today is Mary of Bethany. We're taking the text from the 12th chapter of John. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Something in me is sympathetic with Judas in this story, at least with the argument that this money could have been given to the poor. Maybe he was echoing Jesus' own words. "That's what we're about, right, Jesus?" And I've never liked Jesus' response. "You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." I have to remember who is saying this. It's Jesus, the humble prophet, and in John's gospel, the presence of God in the Word made flesh. My objection, I think, must be against extravagance. Being frugal and generally insecure about money, extravagance makes me anxious. But I also remember a childhood story that takes place in the book Rebecca of Sunnybrook Farm. The children of a poor family in town who barely have enough to eat enter a soap-selling contest, and they win a beautiful red-shaded lamp. The upstanding and more fortunate neighbors are horrified by this extravagance, but this lamp gives light and beauty and serenity to an anxious household. Sometimes beauty and, yes, extravagance are necessary. Mary of Bethany knows this, and in this scene, it is her way of communicating intimately with Jesus. Their intimacy has already been established earlier in the gospel. Her brother Lazarus has died and his body sealed in the tomb. Jesus finally comes to the family, putting himself in danger by doing so, Bethany being so near Jerusalem. He has that famous conversation with Martha about the resurrection. But then Mary, who finds out that Jesus has come, runs to him. When she arrives, she falls at his feet and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and the others who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And here is the moment. Seeing Mary's grief, seeing her weeping at his feet, as if he's trying to be brave for a moment, trying to hold it together, he says, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And the text says, Jesus wept. It is impossible to think that it is the grave that makes Jesus weep, and not his heart breaking with and for his beloved friend Mary. After Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead, and just before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem in the last days of his life, this moment that we read at the beginning of the meditation takes place, a moment of intense intimacy. While responding to Judas' criticism of the waste of the expensive ointment, Jesus subtly lets Mary know that he's aware of what she is doing. She's anointing him for his own death. Mary, with her pound of costly perfume of pure nard, lavishly anoints Jesus as if for burial. By doing so, Mary is saying to him, "I know." Jesus, in his acceptance of the extravagant gift of love, responds without words, "I know that you know." And Mary, wiping his feet, is saying, "I am comforted to know that you know that I know." And here is the spiritual exercise, two really, the reflection questions. Here's the first one. What extravagance can you express toward God by acknowledging God's presence with you? Is it time, tears, tenderness, intuition? How about some kind of offering of beauty? And second, imagine how comforting it was to Jesus that Mary knew what his other friends did not know, that he was soon to suffer and die. In this time, when so many people, the Christ in others, need comfort, what can you do to offer comfort to the suffering, even though you can't be physically present? How can you let them know that you know that they are suffering?